If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Thousands braved humidity and a light drizzle to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech, which he delivered on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial here in Washington, D.C. President Obama marked the occasion by saluting Dr. King and recalling his electrifying remarks that still inspire millions to this day.
And Dr. King explained that the goals of African Americans were identical to working people of all races. Decent wages, fair working conditions, livable housing, old age security, health and welfare measures, conditions in which families can grow, have education for their children, and respect in the community.
Before the current president spoke, former presidents Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton also paid tribute to King, whose entire living family was on hand today. Among those not invited to speak, Republicans. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Well, that is very appropriate, isn't it? I did read the news today. Oh, boy. Hi there. Welcome to Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Duke Brooks here. This is the last Wednesday edition in August, the August 28th edition of Radio Free America. Thanks a lot for being along this evening. And if you're listening on a podcast, well, I thank you for doing that as well. The number here, as usual, 718-305-7176. We do have some announcements. Various bits of information will be coming your way this evening. So make sure you've got it, you keep it tuned into where you have it right now. Or I mean, you get my drift, right? So a lot of people, including our buddy Jeff Holtzman, who you heard from a moment ago, talking about the 50th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech. Probably, you know, I just think that there are quite a few things that are a lot more important than that right now. And certainly one of them is the situation in Syria. Now, you know, if you have an outlook on this, I received some facts today firsthand. I'm not going to name any names, but I will bring you up to speed on what the real situation over there actually is and what some potential consequences of American military action over there might be. I want to preface that this way, and that is that I remember very clearly the Vietnam War. I turned 18 just after the draft ended, and the Vietnam War was American forces were withdrawn from Vietnam. If they had drafted me, I would have gone. No question about it. If they had drafted me, I would have gone. If your country needs you in the military, you are supposed to go. Right now, we have an all-volunteer military. It's 100% professional. There are times when there has to be conscription. There has to be a draft. There are times when that is absolutely necessary. There is just no way around it. I really don't know whether Vietnam actually was one of those times, although, it is clear that Ho Chi Minh understood that North Vietnam and the Viet Cong would win that war, not on the battlefields in Vietnam, but on the front pages of American newspapers and on American campuses and on the evening news in America. And he knew that because he knew that people at colleges and people in newsrooms were friendly to him. That's all there is to it. They just saw more value in what Ho Chi Minh had in mind in terms of the national policy of running a country than they saw in the way the United States Constitution provides that our government would run this country. So he knew that eventually his friends would cause so many American young people to be on his side that eventually our government would have to kind of relent and pull out. And that's ultimately what they did. Now, subsequently, of course, keep in mind, American forces, U.S. combat forces, never, ever, ever lost a battle. The United States won every battle in Vietnam. A lot of people, I mean, I remember very clearly the Tet Offensive of 1968. I was in the seventh grade when that happened. And after a few days of that, and that was a strategic defeat for Charlie and the NVA, no question about it. The North attempted to take over several key American military installations. They attempted to take over Saigon, and they failed on each one. So it was a strategic defeat for the North Vietnamese, the communist North Vietnamese. However, as far as Walter Cronkite was concerned, it apparently was the scariest thing that had ever happened, and he began calling for America to basically give up, throw in the towel, let the communists have it, let them win. That's what the left has always wanted. And the entire time during the Vietnam War, there were a couple of constant sort of mantras coming from the left in this country and elsewhere in the world. One of them was that the war in Vietnam was a civil war, quote, a civil war, unquote. And therefore, it was none of our business. Well, it was not a civil war any more than France trying to get the Nazis out of France in World War II was a civil war. Some people might say, well, the Germans had a claim on Alsace-Lorraine, so that, you know, it was a, at least in that region, it was a civil. No, it was not. North Vietnam and South Vietnam were two separate and distinct countries, both separately recognized by other nations in the world. They were two completely different nations with completely different governments, the same language and the same people. But other than that, they were separate countries. It was not a civil war. Secondly, the left was constantly saying, and these were the same people that were saying this then are now in charge in Washington, D.C. These people were saying constantly, we are not the world's policemen. Well, whenever there's a Democrat in office, since then, it seems that they think we are the world's policemen. Somalia, Bosnia, Kosovo, etc., and now going into Syria, I've just been handed a note. Yes, I am aware of that. Yeah, thank you. Steve Grossman just handed me a note in here, and it has to do with our link on our webpage. You know, we had some major changes last week. Steve, if you want to go to blogtalkradio.com and, yeah, go to live, you know, thank you, Steve. We had some changes at the network last week. Some people left the network, and I don't like to think this because I, on a personal level, I liked both of those people a great deal. But I think that they were, I think maybe one of them did something to remove the link to Radio Free America from the conservativenationmedia.com page. So that's a that's an issue, but that is going to be fixed at some point soon. Anyway, interestingly, the same people that during Vietnam, their constant line was, oh, it's a civil war and we Americans have no obligation and we have no right to be the world's policemen. But when in the modern era, in the last 30, 40 years, when there have been Democrats in office, we have, in fact, by those same people, been encouraged to be the world's policemen. I mentioned Bosnia. I mentioned Somalia. Now we are apparently getting ready to do something in Syria, which I think will be a ridiculous error. And I will explain the reasons why in a couple of minutes. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here, the very last Wednesday, well, the very last edition in August of 2013. Actually, we do have some changes coming up to conservativenationmedia.com. I'm going to tell you about those in a moment or so. We're primarily tonight going to be talking about terrorism, and that's really the coin of the realm over there in the Middle East. I mean, there's not very much a question about that. For everything over there pretty much is terrorism. That's it. I mean, the last time that there were actual armies on the move has been 9 years ago, when the United States went into Iraq, and I had no problem with us going into Iraq. I mean, I don't have any problem with the United States using military force when necessary to protect our own vital interests on the international scene. I don't have any problem with us doing that. I don't think it's something that should be done lightly. I don't think it's something that should be done capriciously. I don't think it's something that should be done, just for no particular reason, obviously. But I do think it is something that must be done when it must be done. Talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Incidentally, you may be aware, I don't know what kind of temperatures you're dealing with where you are, but it seems pretty clear here in the Mid-Atlantic that the summer of 2013 has come and basically it's gone. So we figured that that is a good time to make some changes here at conservativenationmedia.com. Now, starting this Labor Day, which is this coming Monday, September 2nd, our weekday lineup moves to 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Same great shows, same great people, but now we're on the air at the same time each weekday evening. And stay tuned for some great new voices on conservativenationmedia.com as well. It's pretty easy to remember. Just make sure to join us every weekday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com. And there are some great new voices that will be joining us here. I'm going to fill you in on those at various times. Well, I may as well tell you about one, and that's somebody that you already know. His name is Bing Fisher, and he and conservativenationmedia.com main man Michael Smith have been doing their show Soldiers of Patriotism for quite a while on the network, Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock Central, 4 o'clock Eastern. Now, starting this Sunday, Michael will have his own show. Michael Smith will have his own show at 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central, Soldier of Patriotism. That will be followed immediately by Bing Fisher's new program, American by Design. You know, Bing is an engineer by training and by profession, and Bing thinks in very kind of sort of precise and logical and reasoning terms, which is That's probably one of the reasons why he is a conservative. You know, the liberals just do not think. The liberals live in the world of emotion and feelings and theory and wouldn't it be nice and all that kind of stuff. Bing, on the other hand, well, Bing is a conservative, so he thinks in terms of reality. And I think that you are really, if you liked Soldiers of Patriotism, you are going to love Soldier of Patriotism with Michael Smith at 4 o'clock Eastern on Sundays, followed by American by Design with Bing Fisher at 6 o'clock Eastern on Sundays, and that starts this Sunday. So basically be there or, you know, whatever. I mean, you're going to like it. Make sure that you're there. We're going to take a real quick break. More coming up on Radio Free America and ConservativeNationMedia.com. So don't go away.
$80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown-up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
This is Kevin Wade, and you're listening to Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Conservative Nation Radio.
There is freedom within, there is freedom without. Try to catch the deluge in a paper cup. There's a battle ahead, many battles are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road while you're traveling.
All righty, welcome back. Thank you, Kevin Wade, and thank you, Crowded House. I remember that song from 1987, really one of the best ones. I don't know about you, but I kind of like the classic rock, and through the 1980s era, really loved a lot of that stuff. Anyway, 718-305-7176, we do have a caller. Let's see who is calling in. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hi, Dick. It's Randy. How are you tonight?
Hey, Randy. How are you doing, buddy? What's going on, pal?
Not too bad. We still have summer here in Oklahoma, so.
Now, what part of you? I think you and I spoke once before. You are actually in southern Oklahoma. You're fairly close to the Texas border. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm about 2.5 miles from the Texas border.
Ah, okay. Well, that's pretty close. So what is happening out there in the Sooner State?
Oh, not a whole lot other than it's still warm.
Okay. Did you have any comments or anything concerning the Syria situation?
I do on the Syria situation and what you've been talking about earlier in general. But first of all, I kind of pride myself on keeping up with the news through the years. And I have a friend of mine. I'm originally from Pennsylvania. And I have a friend of mine in Pennsylvania and another friend that graduated with us. He put a post on about the Syria thing, and then it led to another topic. My one friend that currently lives in Pennsylvania claims to be an independent, but he's a Democrat. I'm an independent and try to see both sides, but it just so happens I tend to side more with the Republican Party more often than not. But he had brought up a point this morning, and I just wanted to see if, I realized I've slept, in the past 40, 50 years. I don't recall any president prior to this one blaming his predecessor for all the troubles, so to speak. Am I wrong about that?
No, I don't think that you are, because I remember when Ronald Reagan took office, I never once heard anybody from the Reagan administration say this problem, that problem, or whatever are Jimmy Carter's fault. I do remember when Bill Clinton's people came in 1993. And I remember George Stephanopoulos, who was Bill Clinton's domestic advisor, going on one of the Sunday talk shows and saying the problems in Washington are far worse than we ever thought that they were. And the Clintons kind of stuck with that sort of it's Bush's fault for at least a year and a half or 2 years. Then they backed off it. But the fact of the matter is President Obama has been, on this same sort of it's Bush's fault for about 4 years. I mean, he seems to have backed off it a little bit lately, but they stuck with that for 4 years. When George... When George W. Bush was president, I never once heard him say the issues that I'm dealing with are Bill Clinton's fault. Not once. So
I couldn't remember it either. And I remember Reagan as well very well. And, one thing that kind of griped me with Obama blaming Bush and constantly and his administration in general – constantly using the line, this is the worst recession since the Great Depression. I strongly disagree with that. Reagan took over a far worse situation.
It was far worse in the sheer numbers, because as you will remember, we got under Jimmy Carter, we got very close to, if not passing, double-digit unemployment, double-digit inflation, and double-digit interest rates. That was something that economists said could not happen, but it actually did. Because I remember
we were triple digits in all three.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember when in the fall of 1980, interest rates were around 20 or 22% at one point. Okay.
Right.
Unemployment was around 9. It had peaked out at 10 earlier that year. Inflation was really going. And the fact of the matter is, Randy, I think a lot of people simply had no confidence whatsoever in Jimmy Carter as president. And when that happens, people begin to get panicky. A lot of people began having confidence in Ronald Reagan. It took President Reagan about a year and a half or 2 years to begin to calm things down. And unemployment stayed kind of high. Interest rates began coming down. Inflation began coming down. And unemployment began coming down. I mean, unemployment was dropping dramatically starting in late 1983 and going into 1984. And that's one of the reasons why he won re-election in a landslide over Walter Mondale. But, I've got to be honest with you. I am certain that the primary reason that President Obama was reelected, well, there are two of them. Number one, the Republicans, for the second time in 4 years, nominated a fairly weak candidate. And secondly, I think that there was an awful lot of voting fraud that took place in this country, and I think that that helped Obama get reelected, to say nothing of the fact that the media was a cheering section for Obama
in 2012,
like they were in 2008.
Yeah, I think that. Well, in 2008, I'm a little older than you, because you had said earlier about being in seventh grade in 68. I was out of high school then, so I'm a few years older. But
did you fight in Vietnam?
No, I was involved in a I was run over by a truck when I was 16.
Oh,
and
I see.
I wanted to go in the military. We used to have career day through high school, and from 9th through 12th grade, my two choices were Army and Marines. Well, when I got run over, I was in the hospital 9 weeks, had 3 skin graft operations, permanent partial disability, so they would not accept me. So I felt the same way you do. Had I been drafted, or had I been, as a matter of fact, I wound up going to college. And I was a business major in high school because I knew what I was going to do when I graduated. And as a senior, like I say, my plans got changed, not by me, but anyway, I was struggling with my classes and things. And my sophomore year, I decided, well, rather than flunk out, since I'm still in school, I'm going to go see if I can join and go from there. Well, I went through all the tests and everything else, and I'll never forget this. I go through all the exams and all that crap, and they call me into the office. They're all sitting out in a room, and it was a lieutenant or a colonel, I don't recall. But I walked in the room, and he had me sit down, and he looked at me, and he said, "We will call women and children before we call you." That made me feel about, yay high. But because all through high school, I mean, that's what I wanted to do. My feeling always was my country right or wrong. But
that's the way I look at things too, Randy. My country right or wrong. Absolutely. Just as Stephen Decatur said, absolutely.
I mean, what you had said earlier about
Randy,
like you said earlier about being the police,
the world's policeman,
right? Yeah,
the world's policeman. The left, during Vietnam, that's what they kept saying. Now you don't hear that from them.
I don't disagree with you on that. But my own feeling on that is, and not that I agree with the liberals, because they're hypocrites, just like you said, now that it's Syria, it's a total different ballgame. But I have thought the same way for years. It's time we get out of Germany. It's time we get out of North Korea. It's time we get out of Japan. I mean, I realize
we're in South Korea, but
bases, but, especially the Middle East. I mean, how many times do we have to get stabbed in the back and kicked in the teeth before we're finally going to learn they don't like us? They're never going to like us. And
That's correct.
You know, I mean, this guy going to Cairo and bowing down to the Saudi king and giving the speech, you know. Well, you know, hey, Mr. President, what happened to that? You haven't made the world love us any more than they did under George W. Bush. But the one main difference is, under George W. Bush, they respected us.
That's right.
Under you, they have no respect for us. Not only do they not love us, they have no respect for us either.
Yeah, if I have a choice, especially in international relations, if I have a choice between being liked or being respected, I would rather be respected than liked. And if I had the choice between being respected or being feared, I would rather be feared than respected. And, you know, I don't think that there's no reason for a country to fear the United States, but there are times when a nation state has to do what it has to do. I mean, Ronald Reagan summed it up when we bombed Benghazi, I think in 1986, and after we bombed Tripoli and Benghazi, he came on television and gave a speech to the American people. And at one point, he said something that just I thought, oh my God, it was beautiful. He said, "We did what we had to do, and we will do it again if it's necessary." And that kind of thing, you know, that gives people like Gaddafi, who back then was the ruler of Libya, that gives them pause. They think about things twice. Obama just does not, he doesn't have the backbone to really do anything the way Reagan did. No question about it.
Well, when you drop a bomb on a leader's house, that tends to get his attention.
Yeah, and that's what we used to do back then. Randy, I've got to go. But thank you for calling in, my friend. I hope to hear from you again next week at our new time.
All right. You take care.
Have a great night, sir. Thank you for calling. All righty, then. Listen, one of the worst things that can possibly happen, aside from, what happened last November, is for an American to have their identity stolen. I mean, identity theft is awful. If it does happen to you, it might take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover from it at all. Here's a tip. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance and sign up today with LifeLock. Now, LifeLock is much more than just a typical credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24/7, 365. There really is nothing that even comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. And click on the LifeLock banner. You will be glad you did. And you will be glad that you stick around. We're going to take a brief break. Christian will be joining us from Denmark when I come back, so stay right where you are.
You're struggling with your mortgage. You think about it. You don't do anything but think about it.
What are we going to do if we lose the house? Where are we going to go?
At work.
I can't let anybody find out. I'm so embarrassed.
At dinner.
How can I tell the kids? It's going to wreck their lives.
And at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. What's going to happen to us?
It's time to stop thinking. It's time to start dialing. Call 1-888-995-HOPE for a free government program that offers expert one-on-one advice about your mortgage options.
I'm all alone.
No, you're not. We've helped over a million homeowners, and we want to help you. And now there are more ways to help. Call 1-888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift.
but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan.
So, do you like it?
Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Remember that piece of bumper music that is Adi Amos from around 1996. They call that world music, and that's very appropriate because I now welcome my friend Christian from Denmark. Christian, how you doing, buddy? Christian, are you with me? Huh. I don't know what's up with Christian, but I hope he is still there. He did earlier say that. Yes, I can hear you now, buddy.
Oh,
how are you?
It was just the socket in my computer here that were loose, but I tightened it now. Good evening.
Yeah, Christian, I'm with you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on here in the world these hours about the crisis in Syria.
Well, what are the European nations saying about the situation in Syria? It now seems very, very clear that the ruler of Syria either ordered or someone in his military decided to use poison gas against the rebels.
There's extra interesting news on that because the former chief prosecutor in the United Nations International Criminal Law Tribunals in Hague, Carla Del Ponte, I've heard that she had made some studies, and it actually shows that perhaps these chemical attacks on the people have actually been made by the rebels, by the jihadist rebels, in order to put Assad in some bad lights in the international community, and to get the international community leaders like Obama, Cameron, and Angela Merkel to attack Assad, and it's so it's very interesting news that they're going around the world in these hours in that regard, because it tells us one thing, that it's very hard to see what's really up and down in the Syrian conflict. Who's really the good guys? Who are the bad guys? We know one thing. They both hate us. And then we also know another thing, and that is that the rebels are the ones that hate us the most, because they are basically all Al-Qaeda supporters and jihadists, whereas Assad really, you know, he's more of a moderate, if you can say that a Muslim can moderate. That's another debate, but he's more moderate.
Well, so in other words, what you're saying is that there is a prosecutor in The Hague, in the Netherlands, at the international...
Yeah, a former one.
Okay, and that person believes that the gas was actually used by the Al-Qaeda rebels. Do I have that right?
Yes. You have it exactly right.
Okay, very interesting. Now, when did he say this?
It's Carla Del Ponte. She's a she. And she said it, I think, this evening. I just heard, you know, in the grapevines and so on. But and another thing that I also think is very interesting in this conflict, and that is that doesn't really have that big of support in the populations of the countries that are actually thinking about making a military action. We have surveys made here in Denmark about it, and the majority of the people, they're actually against it, even though the politicians, all leading politicians, are speaking for it. So it's a very weird thing, because I don't think that the, I don't know how it is over in America, but it seems to me like most Americans are really tired of going to war.
Oh, there's no question about it. And the fact of the matter is, if we get involved, if the U.S. gets involved in any way in Syria, there is no upside to it. Getting involved over there is not, under any circumstances nor in any way, is it going to make things better or safer for the United States. And in a moment or two, I'm going to be sharing some information that I picked up today from what I would say is about the most reliable source imaginable. But the way I look at it, Christian, is you've got Mohammedans trying to kill Mohammedans. They are both our enemies. Let them kill each other as much as they want to. We're not going to benefit one way or the other from stopping them. No way.
Yeah, and then again, that was that's also what Colonel Ralph Peters said last night on the facts, on the Uriah factor. He also said that he compared it to back in World War II, if it was had been the Japanese against the Nazis, and we were going to pick a side there, and who should we pick in such a fight? So no, it actually makes no sense in getting involved in that. And another thing that's interesting is that going into all these wars, that doesn't really mean that much. They're hurting America, because the Americans, basically, in these times, you don't have the money for the wars. You have the large cities like Detroit that have gone bankrupt and such. You don't have the money for them, so you're actually making America weak by participating in all these wars, because you really need the money at home. And basically, you know, like the Chinese, they are buying up more and more stocks and bonds in America, and America are owing more and more money to the Chinese. So I'm starting to think about, is this really a long-term game for the Chinese? You know, are they playing a part in this? Because they are actually gaining from it, because America is getting weak.
Yeah, they absolutely are gaining from it. And, you know, unfortunately, Christian, I think that there are a lot of people, not only in other countries in the world, but in this country as well, that have a belief that America, in their view, has been too strong, too rich, too powerful for too long, and now it's time for America to be brought down a few notches. And they like the idea that China is an authoritarian state, even though China seems to be economically almost entirely capitalist at this point. They like the fact that China for decades was communist, and that just appeals greatly to a lot of people who hold out a tremendous amount of hope that one day the world will realize that Marx and Lenin were right. And, of course, Marx and Lenin were not right. They were wrong.
Yeah, and you find a lot of those people in the Democratic Party and in the mainstream media, because they basically, the good old America, the patriotic America, you know, the John Wayne America, the Little House on the Prairie America, the Ronald Reagan America. They really, I think that a lot of the modern day Democrats actually despise the old America, and I don't really know why, because they should be proud and happy that they are part of a great country with a proud tradition.
Well, I agree with you. Christian, thank you so much for calling in, and I look forward to hearing from you again next week.
Yeah, same. And I wish all of your listeners a happy, nice evening over here from Denmark.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Have a great night, sir.
Same thing.
All righty. Always a pleasure to hear from Christian. It is about 15 minutes now, almost to the top of the hour, so 15 minutes left in the first hour of this, the very last August edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Now, I have been telling you for a while about our Monday night show that is called Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. It's really a great show. You know, even if you're not from Tennessee, which is the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. And Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure to check it out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. That's Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. We're optimistic around here. We are very optimistic at conservativenationmedia.com. I mentioned to you earlier that we will begin on Sunday with a new program that will be following Michael Smith. Michael is going solo. Bing Fisher is going solo. That all 4 hours of Sunday programming on conservativenationmedia.com kicks off at 3 p.m. Eastern. I'm sorry, 3 p.m. Central, 4 o'clock Eastern for Soldier of Patriotism. And then at 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. I hope I get that right. Yeah, I do. I'm pretty sure I do. I can add single digits with a calculator and a spreadsheet program. Anyway, after Michael's new program, Soldier of Patriotism, will be American by Design with Bing Fisher. If you liked Bing and Michael together on Soldiers of Patriotism, you are going to love them on Soldier of Patriotism, followed by American by Design with Bing Fisher. So make sure you are around on Sunday. I can tell you for an absolute fact, I will be there. Anyway, we are going to take a short break now, and more of your calls are coming up, so stay right where you are.
The Internet's official Rhino Hunting Safari.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Hi, this is Eric Darnell.
This is David Reagan.
Jamie McMurray.
This is Carl Edwards here for RED,
the entertainment industry's voice for road safety.
Want to make a difference? It's simple. Be responsible.
Plan ahead. Designate before you celebrate.
Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
Drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
So tell, baby, tell
all righty, welcome back. Thank you, Paula Abdul, and thank you, Greg Duran. Duke Brooks here. The number is 718-305-7176. We're getting a busier chat room by the moment, which is always a good thing. Welcome aboard, gang. Very happy to see Uncle Bing himself, the man, the American by design, Lady Michelle. Randy's Roundup was in there earlier. Kerry Guns is here. Good evening, sir. Or ma'am. Anyway, I mentioned at the top of the hour that I had gotten earlier today some firsthand information concerning the situation in the Middle East vis-a-vis Syria. Now, as you are aware, at least I hope you're aware, that Syria and Jordan share a mutual border. Jordan and Israel share a border. And what is happening in Syria right now is destabilizing the entire region in this way. As you will remember, for many years, the king of Jordan, who appeared to be a very, very nice, educated, intelligent guy named King Hussein, who married an American woman whose name was Lisa Halaby. Lisa Halaby's father was Najib Halaby, who was a guy of Middle Eastern descent, who I believe at one point was not only the administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration, but was at one point had also been the president of Pan American, I think. She is a person of went by the name of Queen Noor when she was married to His Majesty King Hussein of Jordan. Anyway, King Hussein was certainly a pretty reliable friend to the United States within the context of how reliable a Middle Easterner can be in terms of being a friend to the United States. King Hussein died, and his son, King Abdullah, is now the ruler in Jordan. And King Abdullah, having an American mom, and I believe he was educated in America, I think at Harvard or Yale or Stanford or something, King Abdullah was a tremendous fan of Star Trek. And King Abdullah showed up on an episode of Star Trek one time, and this was a really big deal. He was still a prince at the time. His dad was still alive, but Prince Abdullah showed up on Star Trek, and apparently this was a tremendous sensation in Jordan. Now, just to the north of Jordan is Syria. Syria was ruled for a long time by a brutal Middle Eastern Mohammedan civilian dictator whose name was Hafez al-Assad. His son, Bashir Assad, who is an ophthalmologist. He is an ophthalmic surgeon, and I believe he was educated in London. And he, since Hafez Assad died, those Middle Eastern countries, some are monarchies, and they don't make any bones about it. They don't pull any punches. Saudi Arabia is a monarchy. Obviously, Jordan is a monarchy. Syria is a monarchy, like North Korea is a monarchy, except they don't call themselves kings or princes or viscounts or, duke or baron or anything like that. But effectively, when power passes from the father to the son, and the population has absolutely nothing to say about it, that's a monarchy. I'm sorry, that's what it is. Anyway, here is the situation vis-a-vis Syria and its impact on Jordan, and the reason why the U.S. is now flirting with military action over there. The so-called Arab Spring, in which the Egyptian president Hosni Mubarak was deposed by crowds over there, and then the strongman ruler of Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, was deposed in the same way, must have given some reason for confidence and optimism, I suppose, to the Muslim Brotherhood faction in Syria. These are al-Qaeda allies, that they are the so-called rebels in Syria, and they are not revolting against Hafez Assad's son, Bashar Assad. Apparently his wife, who is this hot sort of looking, you know, sophisticated kind of English educated Syrian dragon lady, essentially. Apparently she is the one that is actually calling the shots. I have read this and heard this from quite a few sources. So that she is the power behind the throne. Apparently Bashar Assad is just a sort of like a figurehead and, you know, probably a non, obviously not a benign one. However, al-Qaeda is a major faction and major factor in the so-called Arab Spring, in the person of the Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood has been around for almost 100 years. They are anathema to everything Western. Mohammedanism, of course, shares absolutely no common values, no commonality in the way we look at life with modern Western thinking. But in any event, President Obama, just about a year ago, I think it was August 12th of last year, was asked an off-the-cuff question by a reporter at the Gaggle one day, you know, what if the Syrian government uses weapons of mass destruction? And weapons of mass destruction, incidentally, comprise more than just A-bombs. They're more than just nuclear weapons. Biological weapons, gas weapons, and nuclear weapons, ABC, atomic, biological, and chemical, are all classified as weapons of mass destruction because they are completely and totally indiscriminate, and the damage that they can cause really cannot be controlled. That is, you know, when somebody fires a unitary warhead at an unprotected population and it has sarin gas or it has something like VX nerve gas or something like that, mustard gas, chlorine gas, you know, these were used in World War One. This is very, very, you know, the entire world basically has said, look, you're just not supposed to do that. As far as I know, there was no gas warfare in World War II. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure that there was none. There had been in World War One. The League of Nations came up with treaties to outlaw it. So anyway, the Assad regime has used them in Syria against their own population. President Obama was asked a little over a year ago what he would do if that happened, and apparently President Obama was caught off guard by that question, and he just kind of said something about a red line in the sand and that they better not do that. That's going to be crossing a line, and there will be consequences if they do. But the fact of the matter is, if a guy like Obama says something like that, who's going to take him seriously? Come on, man. The guy is a ridiculous, serious leftist liberal. And why would anybody bother to take him seriously? You know, I mean, that's so. All right. So in any event, that is what he said. And now it's a year later. And there has been poison gas. There's no question about it. Christian from Denmark, from outside Copenhagen, just recently said that there is word going around there in Northern Europe and in Copenhagen that the gas was actually used by the rebels in order to make it look like the government was the one using it. Anyway, I've got great information. We're going to take a quick break. We'll follow up on that, and you just stay right where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Oh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Oh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm... I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back to Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Duke Brooks here, starting off hour number two of the very last August program, the very last 7 p.m. Eastern start on ConservativeNationMedia.com. This is it for August, and never again will the program begin at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Starting next week, we are all moving to 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. So somebody get out the record books. Anyway, we have been talking a little bit, you and I, about the Syrian situation. And earlier today, I got some tremendous firsthand information. And I'm going to fill you in on that. The number is 718-305-7176. All right, here's the deal. Senator John McCain, who, in my view, should no longer be a U.S. senator, he probably shouldn't have been one, like, you know, a long, long time ago. One term in the Senate, maybe two, I think is enough. I really do. I don't think that anybody should serve more than two terms in the Senate, maybe four terms or maybe five in the House. No retirement. You know, that's what I think. Even, you know, Orrin Hatch, I think, is a good guy, but he's been there for too long. Anybody that's been there for as long as McCain or Hatch or any or, you know, any of these other guys, they just need to go. But when John McCain went over, and I think Lindsey Graham went with him over to the Middle East to try to, you know, figure out what is going on over there, they took a United States senator from a mid-Atlantic state with them. When I was given this information earlier today, I promise not to name any names, so I'm not going to. The United States senators were told by King Abdullah of Jordan that the situation in Syria is spilling over into Jordan and has the potential to cause tremendous destabilization in Jordan. And basically the bottom line was King Abdullah of Jordan told our United States senators that if the United States does not want King Abdullah to be overthrown the way Muammar Gaddafi and the way Hosni Mubarak and the way it looks like Bashar Assad might be, then the United States was going to have to take out the Syrian Air Force, which, you know, frankly, that is something that is within our military's capability. There isn't any question about it. Heck, man, we're talking about the United States Air Force and the United States Navy. And if those two military organizations cannot take out somebody else's Air Force, the fact of the matter is nobody can. We've got the best military of all time. There isn't any question about it. And they can do that. And the reason the king wants this to happen is that he would prefer that the United States do it and not the Israelis, because if the Israelis take out the Syrian Air Force, which they probably can, as opposed to the United States, which definitely can, if they do that, the fact of the matter is other Middle Eastern Mohammedan countries may decide to go to war against Israel. And if that happens, the United States will almost definitely have to get involved to defend Israel, because Israel is our ally. Although, you know, the other thing is, with Obama in there, would he actually do that? I mean, he's made it clear he does not like Israel. And I suspect the reason he does not like Israel is that the same reason he doesn't like England, it is simply America's ally. I don't think that the president loves this country. I just don't. That's just my thoughts on it. But in any event, that basically, you know, there's a couple of different things that we could do. Now, you know about the Stinger missile. That is the shoulder-launched anti-aircraft missile that will track on an enemy aircraft in the sky with a turbine engine, a jet engine. They put out an awful lot of heat. The Stinger apparently is an infrared homing missile, much like the Sidewinder. And that will fly up into the tailpipe of the targeted aircraft, and then it will blow up. And we now apparently have a next-generation type of the same missile called a MACPAC. Don't know what that means. I just didn't have time to research all of this today. But in any event, if we give those MACPAC missiles to the rebels, we will essentially be arming Al-Qaeda. That's what we will be doing. This is something I guess the president and Secretary of State John Kerry just, you know, they really cannot see beyond what are some very obvious facts. I have no idea why they would trust Al-Qaeda with an advanced portable weapon system like that one. This is one of the reasons why, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, we created Osama bin Laden when we armed the Mujahideen in Afghanistan in 1980 through 1986. You know, it's a, okay, fine. Thus proving for about the 10,000th time in human history that a nation state has no permanent allies. It has only permanent self-interests. And after the Soviets rolled into Afghanistan in 1979 and Jimmy Carter was sitting in the White House in the Rose Garden quaking in fear, wringing his hands, probably wetting his bed at night. That was something that we had to do at that point. And the movie Charlie Wilson's War confirms that. It was widely known in the United States back then that we were doing a lot of things to make the Soviets as miserable in Afghanistan as they made us in Vietnam. So anyway, those are pretty much the choices that we're looking at. We can either expect the Israelis to do something against the Syrian Air Force for the sake of trying to maintain some stability in the Kingdom of Jordan, what is known as the Hashemite Kingdom. And if they do and America does not, then it is likely that the other Arab nations will ally and band together and attack Israel. And if that happens, then we're going to be drawn into a much wider conflict. If we send in American forces, not on the ground, but if we send in United States Air Force and United States Naval Combat Aviators in jet airplanes with smart bombs and laser-guided missiles and all that kind of stuff, it is possible that some of our pilots will lose their lives. The Syrian air defense system is a Russian-built system, and from what I understand, it's pretty good, although it's not as good as what we've got, but it's pretty good. So the chances are that we would take some fatalities and take some casualties. If we destroy the Syrian Air Force, either on the ground or in the air, what we are basically doing is we are setting up the Al-Qaeda infused rebel forces to ultimately take over in Syria. Now, I did see something on Drudge Report. Let me see if I can pull this up here. That the president's strategy over there would be to basically fight to a stalemate. I have no idea what these people are thinking in Washington. They want to fight to a stalemate. What on earth does that mean? I have no idea. I have no idea what that means. They want to fight to a stalemate. Unbelievable. It is just bizarre what these people are thinking. In other words, basically, the options are not good. None of them are. And the fact that we did not really put our foot down after 9/11, I think is largely to blame for this. And frankly, I think that President George W. Bush's response to 9/11 was, on the vast scale of world strategy, and probably will be viewable in world history the same way, was tepid. I believe it was kind of a milquetoast strategy. At the end of the day, I don't think that we did enough to send a clear and unmistakable message to the Mohammedans all over the world that you do not use terror anymore. It's out of the question. I'll tell you what else is out of the question. I guess the summer of 2013 is just about over. It's only a couple of weeks. I mean, technically it doesn't end until September 21st, but for all intents and purposes, Labor Day has been historically held in this country for at least the last 75 years as kind of the end of the summer. So the summer of 13 has come and gone, and I figured that that was as good a time as any to make a couple of changes here at conservativenationmedia.com. So starting this Labor Day, our weekday lineup is going to move to 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. The same great shows, the same great people, but now we're all on the air at the same time each weekday evening. And you want to make sure you just check back early, check back often, because we've got some great new people that are going to be joining us on conservativenationmedia.com next week as well. It's pretty easy to remember. Just make sure to join us every weekday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com starting next week. 718-305-7176 is the number. We are going to take a short break now. We have been discussing Syria a little bit, you and I, and I see that there are actually still quite a few people in the chat room. Hey, everybody. There's Lady Michelle. Hey, Lady Michelle and Uncle Bing. But we will continue this discussion in just a moment. So by the way, before we do that, I did want to remind you, I'm so glad that things are spelled out in black and white in front of me, because I don't know whether or not I would remember them. In fact, I'm pretty positive I would not. ConservativeNationMedia.com is now fully optimized for smartphones like the Android, the iPhone, and some of these others out there. That means you can download our podcasts or listen to us live wherever you are and whenever you want to. The same great shows, the same great people, now fully optimized for your smartphone right here at ConservativeNationMedia.com. More of your calls and more information about Syria and, of course, a check on Civil War history, all coming up, so stay right where you are.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices. Use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. And all those debris piles and brush around your yard, which you haven't taken care of yet, are pure lighter fluid, ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked, and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them, because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. Duke Brooks here. That music, of course, the famous Ashokan Farewell, that was used by Ken Burns in his series from, I think, 1989 or 1990 called The Civil War, has been associated with Civil War history now for over 20 years. This is from the Civil War Day by Day, an almanac by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. August 28th was a Friday in 1863, 150 years ago. Only three skirmishes and two expeditions are recorded. Fighting was at Hartwood Church in Virginia. the Narrows near Shell Mound, Tennessee, and Jacksboro, Tennessee. The expeditions were both led by Federals and operated from Stevenson, Alabama, to Trenton, Georgia, and from Lexington into Lafayette, Johnson, Cass, and Henry counties in Missouri. So not an awful lot going on this particular day 150 years ago, Friday, August 28th, 1863. But if you're a student of Civil War history, you know that there were an awful lot of things on the very near horizon. What a terrible, violent, and bloody, just an awful situation the American Civil War was. Civil wars are always the worst. You know, when the issue is who is going to govern, who's going to be in charge, and how and why, that is always worse than it is if you're simply trying to repel a foreign invader. And people always well know that. I mean, we just had another example a short while ago in Syria, which, Syria, the situation almost certainly is more like a civil war than like, just a war of invasion or repulsion. However, in the Middle East, you know, most people speak the same language. If you come from Jordan, you're going to be able to understand what somebody from Libya is saying because they both speak the same language, which is Arabic. Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, Jordan, Syria, they all speak Arabic. You know, the Gulf States, Qatar, and United Arab Emirates, they all speak the same Arabic language. And for this reason, to say nothing of the fact that most of the borders over there go on for hundreds of miles over a featureless desert, one whose dunes are constantly shifting, this is why we are now all very familiar with the term called foreign fighters. And they are moving from place to place. And the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah and Hamas and the other terrorist organizations over there, they are floating around. They're moving from place to place. If we give MACPAC, which is the updated Stinger, this is the next generation of Stinger, a shoulder-launched one-man anti-aircraft missile. If we give those to the Syrian rebels, how long do you think it's going to be before some of those missiles find their way directly into the hands of terrorists who would love to use one to shoot down Air Force One? I mean, there are Arab Muslims all over this country. If you go into Washington, D.C., you will find quite a few of them there owning stores, restaurants, you know, that kind of thing. And who's to say whose side they're really on? Who's to say whether they are trustworthy or not? Who is to say that, you know, somebody fills out an application, they come into this country, they get a green card, then they get a grant or a no-interest loan from the State Department or AID or whatever, and they open a store in Washington, D.C., and they are still in touch with their ideological and co-religionist brethren back home. And one of them is from Syria, and they say, well, we think we've got a way to get one of these MACPAC missiles into the United States, and why don't you take one to Andrews Air Force Base and shoot down Air Force One with it? Now, the fact of the matter is, Air Force One has a tremendous number of countermeasures built in, a lot of defensive systems built in, a lot of systems, defensive weapon systems that are designed to defeat almost any kind of threat that would encroach upon it. But even still, we don't want somebody launching weapons at Air Force One. What if they decide just to go down to the local airport and just decide to take out an airplane that's taking off? What if they were able to get their, make their way to Dallas-Fort Worth or to BWI or to O'Hare or to Los Angeles International with one of these shoulder-fired missiles and just take out an American airliner, throw the missile away, get in their car, and drive away? I mean, that, you know, we really just cannot afford to let this kind of technology be put in the hands of people who, regardless of their cause, never mind what they're fighting for, never mind who they're fighting against, the way I look at it, the problems of Syria are for Syria to solve. Israel can defend itself, but if Israel needs America's help, then America must absolutely defend our ally. But for us to get involved at this juncture over there, okay, they use gas, all right? It's the Middle East. They will do that sort of thing. That's just the way they think about it. To them, it doesn't matter. I've got to be honest with you. I think that the president, when he made his statement about a red line, tried to appear like a tough guy. It's just another example of the fact that, frankly, this guy just doesn't have a clue what he's doing. He really doesn't. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks is my name. Thank you very, very much for being along this evening. We have been talking a little bit about Syria. There was a piece of tape earlier from Joe Biden. And at the time I saw this on Fox News, speaking of television news, let's see a show of hands. How many people are going to be watching Al Jazeera America? Gotta be kidding me. Unbelievable. What on earth did they think? I mean, I look at it this way. I can almost guarantee you that there is, if you live in a place like Syria, or if you live in a place like Pakistan, you are not going to be able to get Fox News Channel translated on your local TV cable system. That just is not going to happen. The governments in the Arab countries and in all of the Mohammedan countries, the governments control what the people can hear, what they can read, what they can see on TV. That's just the way things are in those countries. I believe it is either Dubai or Oman or Qatar. They call it Qatar. It looks like it's spelled Qatar. One of the Gulf states is the money behind Al Jazeera America. Al Gore had a cable channel called Current. That did not do very well, but he sold the cable channel to the Arabs, and the Arabs have put on Al Jazeera America. Frankly, I wouldn't watch it if you paid me, even though there is no people meter on my TV set, which is a Nielsen device for tracking who watches what. And, you know, I don't even know if that technology is relevant anymore. I would think that the cable companies would be able to determine what you're watching and when and all that kind of stuff. But in any event, here they are. I guess if I were the Federal Communication Commission, well, the FCC really doesn't control cable. They control satellite bandwidth, because satellite technically does use the public airwaves, but they do not control cable or cable content, because cable itself does not use the public airwaves. And the FCC is set up ostensibly to, you know, safeguard for, on behalf of the public, the public airwaves. But there should be a way, there ought to be a way, I wish that there were a way, for the United States government to say to foreign governments that try to assail our people and innocent bystanders all over this country with Arabist propaganda, Mohammedan propaganda, that unless we can put, we can gain access to your population through our cable or our satellite programming, you can't have access to ours. I think that's fair, don't you? In any event, we are coming up on the bottom of the hour. That means we're getting ever closer to the home stretch here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. 30 minutes to go in this, the last August edition of Radio Free America. I'm assuming that if you are listening to me right now, you are a conservative. I think that's a fair assumption. And that means that you love America just like those of us at conservativenationmedia.com do. And that probably means that you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government in Washington drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency, a man-made or contrived emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a Supply Depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. So wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. This is conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. More of your calls and more on Syria and other various and sundry straight ahead, so don't go away.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
conservativenationmedia.com. This is Radio Free America. Those were the Beatles and Dear Prudence. I'm pretty certain that my girlfriend Linda is not happy right now. She does not care for some certain images that that song evokes. Sorry about that, hon. You know, I think that we are getting a huge thunderstorm rolling over Dover right now. But, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. Of course, if you're Al Gore, it's going to be global warming. I hope that you have listened to the interview that I did last week with Craig Shields. Craig has kind of a pragmatic outlook on fossil fuels, which is petroleum and natural gas and that sort of thing, coupled with some degree of environmental awareness. And, you know, the point of the matter is we could walk away from the Middle East altogether. We could say to the Arabs, look, you guys can drink your oil, which is exactly what I'd like to be able to tell them. We have enough oil here in the United States to support our current level of consumption for about the next 100 years. After that, who knows? I cannot accept the idea that there would be, you know, no technological innovations, whether they were market driven or not, that would leave us dependent upon oil, gasoline powered vehicles and that sort of thing after we were able to get every last drop out of the shale oil fields in southern Canada and North Dakota. North Dakota right now has an unemployment rate below 2%. I saw this the other day. When it gets below, I think when it gets below 2.5, economists consider that to be full employment in a free enterprise, free market system. And that's because they are getting a ton of oil out of North Dakota. We've got enough in this country. We have found and we have the technology to extract enough oil and enough natural gas and enough coal. Even Craig Shields last week said that we have almost an infinite supply of coal in this country. He mentioned that if you're in Wyoming, you can barely walk anywhere without tripping all over it, and that's a good thing. So we do have the physical ability to be energy independent in this country. The problem is that the environmentalists, wow, man, the snail darter, the spotted owl, man, you know, that sort of thing. You know, the Save the Whales League, et cetera. They do not want us to be energy independent. They want us to be more or less like Ted Kaczynski. And to be living without modern technology, I am very certain that their real motivation in that, and the motivation that comes from the top of their movement, has nothing whatsoever to do with the environment. I believe the actual motivation is that they simply don't like the free market, free enterprise economic system and the modern democratic pluralistic system for politics that we have in this country, and they like systems like in the old Soviet Union better. They don't want us to be energy independent, and they'll come up with any excuse imaginable. Now, from what I understand, Al Jazeera America has begun editorializing already about the idea that fracking is bad, extracting shale oil is bad, using our natural gas supplies in this country is bad. And why do you think that is? Well, because that network is owned by a country, a national government in the Middle East, that has a huge supply of those things. And frankly, they want to sell that to us. They don't want us to have our own. It's kind of obvious. I'm not really sure why anybody would think that that network has any credibility at all. I was shocked and stunned to see John Siegenthaler, Well, maybe not all that shocked and maybe not all that stunned. John Siegenthaler was with NBC for a long, long time. I think his father had been a prominent journalist in his time in America. And I always thought that Siegenthaler did a very good job on television. I think I am inferring properly from some comments on Fox News from some other people that have been in the broadcast journalism business for a very long time, that Siegenthaler and most of the other people on Al Jazeera were, had been let go from their previous American Network employers, and so they wound up there. Who knows? But I cannot imagine anyone thinking that Al Jazeera America has any credibility, knowing what their origin is and being able to just infer. You don't have to be some kind of a rocket scientist, just being able to infer what their what their agenda is. I mean, you don't have to be Sherlock Holmes or anything. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Thank you very much for being along this evening or on podcast if you are listening on podcast. I have noticed that generally listenership to conservativenationmedia.com, number one, is on a pretty serious upswing right now, has been for several months, and we expect that to get even more dramatic through the rest of this year. Number two, we generally get at least 10 and sometimes 20 to 1 podcast listenership over live listens. We are obviously thrilled that many, many people are listening to us live. And we're also thrilled when so many people download us, our programs, as a podcast. So keep it up, gang. Lots of new things are coming to conservativenationmedia.com. So you're going to want to keep it right where you've got it. A short while ago, I mentioned a statement that Vice President Biden had made, and I saw this on Fox News Channel. I mean, there he was. This is not something that could be doctored. Yeah, generally speaking, Fox does not do that. We know that NBC does, and the NBC people will look you right in the eye, and they will say, well, we were right to do that because our job is to influence. Well, that is not. In any event, there was Vice President Biden, who at the time was a U.S. senator, and who said that President Bush's invasion of Iraq, if he had done that without the consent of Congress, would have been an impeachable offense. I don't necessarily believe that that is true, but I will guarantee you that Vice President Biden is not saying that about President Obama's current contemplation of the use of American military force against Syria, a country that is having its own internal problems. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, we've got our enemies in Camp A killing our enemies in Camp B, and let them keep on doing that. You know, the left wants to get involved. I have no idea why. The left can't stand it when America actually defends its own interests. The left also cannot stand the Second Amendment and Americans' right to keep and bear arms. That's in the Constitution. There's nothing around it, no way around it. Now, we've got something else that they are certain to despise, and it is the Second Amendment Forum on Conservative Nation Radio with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. We welcome Max and his decades of firearms experience and Second Amendment rights experience to Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, starting September 5th. That is 1 week from tomorrow. Get out your calendars. The leftist administration in D.C. wants to disarm the American people, and Max just will not let that happen. That is the Second Amendment Forum, coming in September, to Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I don't know if you can hear the serious thunder and lightning. Well, you can't hear the lightning, but you can hear the thunder. outside the studios here in Dover, Delaware, but it sounds to me like an embedded squall line or something is moving through here. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. I saw bits and pieces of the 50th anniversary today in Washington of Martin Luther King's famous I Have a Dream speech. There is very little question that is one of the greatest speeches in American history. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it. Martin Luther King was just a brilliant speaker. And I think for certain his cause was a completely valid, totally honorable, and noble one. If you are born in this country, you must have the right to vote. What could be more central to the very definition of a democracy than that? If you are not a U.S. citizen, you are not allowed to vote. Or if you lose your right to vote for some other reason, like conviction of serious felonies or something, you are not supposed to vote. And I think to some extent I understand that. I do think if someone has been convicted of a serious felony, one that involves violence, after that person's sentence is up and maybe another decent interval has passed, that the person should be allowed to vote again, provided that they haven't done anything else that is seriously wrong. However, I digress. But if you're born in this country, I see the films now of what was going on in places like Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia and some of the other former Confederate states 50 years ago that were preventing black people from registering to vote. And, officially they discourage black people from registering to vote. Officially, they were coming up with things like literacy tests, poll taxes, things of that nature. And that was completely inappropriate. It was morally and ethically wrongful. There is no doubt about it. There were other methods that some of those good old boys down there used to use to try to prevent black people from registering to vote. We all know about the Ku Klux Klan and the terrorist campaigns that they were running against American citizens in the South, based strictly on their race and sometimes on their religion. And this is just it's unacceptable. Now, equally unacceptable is the idea. I think that Martin Luther King would be very disappointed at what is happening in the black community in this country today. There's been a lot of talk about this. We'll pick up this discussion in a moment. We've got a brief break coming up. More of your calls are on the way, so stay right where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
My dad came to live with us last month, and it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. This, as you probably know by now, is Summer and Lightning by the Electric Light Orchestra, and that is exactly what we've got right now. There is a boomer moving through Dover, Delaware. You are live on Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Who's this?
This is Kristen from Denmark calling in again.
Hey, Kristen, I didn't recognize your number. It's displaying in a slightly different way now than it was before. But go ahead, pal.
Okay, I don't know why that is. Well, I'm just calling in. It's about all that Martin Luther King thing. And of course, he was in many ways a great man who had his points. But about the freedom thing, you know, you said about the blacks should have the right to live in freedom, and that right was denied for them way back. But then I think that the table has actually turned, because actually today, in many cases, in big cities at least, many white people are actually being prevented from living free in their neighborhoods because they're scared to go out, because they're afraid to get mugged or even killed by blacks. Like this poor Australian guy who came to America to study.
I can tell you that in some cases that is true, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and
that's why I think that Martin Luther King would be very disappointed at what is going on in the black community.
And actually, there's also a lot of freedom being taken away from white people, because a lot of white people have to work extra hours to pay more taxes, because a lot of black people are taking in all these social benefits, benefits like food stamps and all. So actually, I think that in the last couple of decades, at least, a lot of freedom has been taken away from white people, from black been taken away from white people by black people. So actually, the table has turned in the last. So in many ways, I think that this whole fixation with Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement, I think it's long gone. I think the agenda should be different today, because actually today it's the black people who are taking freedom away from white people.
There are a lot of people that feel that way. Kristen, I definitely thank you for calling in again, but I do have to get Chris Manti on the air, but I hope that we will be speaking again next week.
We will. Cheers.
Thank you, my friend. All righty. Now then, it is time to hear from Christopher Manti. Christopher, good evening, my friend. How are you doing tonight, pal? Are you getting rain up there near Wilmington as we are here in Dover?
Well, first of all, cheers. I like to hear that and say that.
Oh, yeah, well, he's a European guy, you know?
Cheers. Yeah, it makes me
cheers.
Thirsty. Rain has stopped, I believe, finally, for the day, so I think we're all right.
Good, because we're getting pelted right here. But what are you going to do? You know. So what is on tap for the Christopher Manti Show on Friday night here on conservativenationmedia.com? What do you got going on? Football commentary, Book of Revelation, what else?
Yes, you nailed it. And, of course, the serious situation getting quite serious, right?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently now we we think it's prudent to shoot some missiles somewhere, and then we think it's smart to announce that before we do it, and not only how many days in advance, but how many missiles we're going to shoot, you know, because that's warfare 101, of course, is you tell them what you're going to do.
Right.
As we all know.
Yeah.
So that should be awesome. And we'll definitely talk about that and the complete, I mean, geez, think about it for 5 seconds. This is this utter confusion. Like, why would Assad gas some civilians? It doesn't make sense. What is his point in doing that?
No, you know? But, you know,
he's
in the Middle East, right, in the Middle East, nothing really makes sense to our Western way of thinking, that's for sure.
Well, that is definitely true. I'm just trying to think of, you know, if he's trying to retain power, because that's a constant in all humanity, right? If he's trying to retain his power, how would that help him? That's a lose-lose proposition to, you know, drop some chemical weapons on some kids in bed. That's just not going to look good. So anyway, I'll try to get to the bottom of it before the show, and hopefully we'll have some kind of updates for the folks 5 p.m. Eastern time on Friday.
Thank you so much, my friend. You have a wonderful Thursday, and I can't wait to listen to you on Friday, as I always do.
You as well. Thanks, my friend. Keep it up.
All right, pal. Have a great night. Christopher Manti, everybody. Great guy. You will enjoy his show, The Christopher Manti Show. And I mentioned the Book of Revelations. Christopher is a very serious biblical scholar, but he's also a realistic American and an NFL fan. I believe that Christopher is a pretty serious Philadelphia Eagles follower. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that the Baltimore Orioles can somehow get things turned around in September. Apparently, the Red Sox just brutalized them last night, but this kind of thing happens in baseball from time to time. What are you going to do? You know, that's just life, I guess. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Just a couple of minutes left for this, the last August show of 2013, and the last show that will begin at, or that did begin, at 7 p.m. Eastern. We will be shifting to 8 p.m. Starting next week. All of our weekday shows at 8 p.m. starting next week. And we've got some new voices coming on board. Max Roberts will be with us on Thursday nights. We've got a couple of other folks that, more will be revealed as the time goes by. And if you think you like, if you like us now, you're going to love us starting next week. I guarantee it. So make sure that you stick around. 718-305-7176 is the number. You know, I used to be indecisive. Now I'm not so sure. I also used to think that I wanted a career. As it turns out, I just wanted to get paychecks. Thanks very much for being along this evening. As we get further along, it's going to be very interesting what happens in Syria. We have not heard an awful lot from the mainstream media about the IRS situation. The last thing I heard about the IRS is that they are still targeting conservatives. I also hear a lot on the internet about foreign troops that are training in the United States. You know, I got to be honest with you, I'm just not sure that I buy that. I just don't know. I kind of, there's something about it that just does not sound right. You know, the idea that there would be Russian troops training in America near Washington, D.C., and a lot of people say that the purpose of this is to protect Washington, D.C. If the president decides to declare martial law or decides to otherwise unconstitutionally seize power. Who knows? You know, I mean, who knows? I think it is an ancient Chinese curse that goes something like, may you live in interesting times. I guess that this is one of those times. Thanks a lot for being along. I do look forward to speaking with you again next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, as Radio Free America gets into September. Have yourselves a great week.